I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, reading verses 63 through chapter 2, verse 4. Luke chapter 1, verses 63 through chapter 2, verse 4. This is around the time of the naming of John the Baptizer by his parents, and then on into part of the Christmas story. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John," and all of them were amazed. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were asked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. As we come this day, we come to a time where we remember the peace that God promised to all of His people. We lit the candle of peace earlier this morning. We talked with the children about peas and peace, and found out that at least a couple of us guys don't have any peace with green peas. There's a box sitting up here. I wonder what we might find in this box. Well, I think I recognize... Ah, there's another one of those cans of peas. Get them out of here. I think I recognize this. I certainly do. I've seen it before. It reminds me of some things. Although, generally, it's not a mix, but maybe it'll do. Unemployment's up. Troops are serving everywhere away from home. Prices of everything seem to be totally out of control. crime's rampant everywhere. All you've got to do is listen to folks talk about it on the streets. And speaking of folks and streets, crowds are moving incessantly everywhere. And they tend to move slow. In fact, there's so many crowds out there, you can't even stir them with a stick. And family members. Family members are mad at each other and they're not even talking with each other. And when they do, many of them snap harshly. Even religious folks at worship argue among themselves and fuss and fight. There's such tension and such a clamoring in this world today that you'd wonder if there is anywhere in this whole world where there can be peace. In fact, with all the people traveling at this time of the year, you can hardly find a decent place to stay. And if you do, they charge you an arm and a leg. And the accidents, all those people going everywhere, those accidents, boy, when those donkeys begin to kick and the cart starts sliding, there can be a real mess everywhere. Now, maybe you were thinking about the 21st century when I was talking about those things. About how our own world moves at this time of the year or doesn't seem to move. You know, perhaps in some ways, the first century and the 21st century were not all that different. You know? All hectic. People moving around everywhere, looking for a decent place to stay and a decent meal, and sometimes they couldn't find it. In fact, it seems to me that with that census that took place, it was hard to find a room. And Mary and Joseph, this pregnant lady and her husband, could not find a place to stay. And so they're put off. You know the story. They're put off by the innkeeper. And they go and they stay in a stable. Probably a hollowed out cave in the hills behind his place. Of course, then again, we've talked about how he was looking out for himself as well. He wanted as peaceful a time as possible, and to have a pregnant woman give birth in his house would not bring him any peace. That turbulent time, that transitional era in which the coming of the Prince of Peace was missed by so many people. Totally missed. And many of those who did see it misunderstood what was taking place. In many ways, it was a time of darkness awaiting a new dawn. A dawn that was spoken of by the priest Zechariah after the birth and the naming of his son, John. Roman soldiers were far from home serving, and they were far too close to the homes of the Jews. People's lives were frayed, and nerves were totally on edge throughout this whole time. Even families were torn apart by the stress and the tensions of moving around and perhaps of even moving in for a short time to spend a few days with each other. Now, I know that doesn't happen around Christmas time. These days, I know families don't, when they get in close proximity, they don't have any stress or any tension. But back then they did. And they didn't even realize it was Christmas. In fact, many people were probably crying and thinking, peace, peace, there is no peace. And perhaps today, sometimes we look around and we wonder, is there any peace to be had anywhere? But in the middle of such a world as that, God reached out. God reached out and offered a promised peace. He offered peace for those who truly understood and would make the efforts to find that peace and to follow it, whether they be shepherds or magi, midwives, or children. God offered them that peace if they would but come and look for it and then follow it. The text we read today begins a little before that birth. A little bit before that birth. The birth and the event for which we await each year at this time. In our Advent season, we hung the greens last week. And our sanctuary, our worship room, looks very beautiful. It is adorned for the coming of a king, and yet that king didn't come as most people thought. He was born into a family that was not very wealthy. And even though he had an uncle who was a priest, he wasn't one of those that was seen among the upper echelon of people. When we come to the text today, John the Baptizer has already been born. He's Jesus' cousin. He is the one who, when Mary approached Elizabeth, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and Mary had just become pregnant via a miracle of God, he is the one who jumped inside of her, kicking and pushing, because he knew of the one that was to come. But John has been born, and when the time comes for his naming, some odd things happen. First, his mother is the one that originally tells the name. If we go a few verses earlier, we'd find that, which was highly unusual. But you see, his dad couldn't talk, because he had kind of chuckled at the idea when the angel visited him. And the angel said, well, you know, guess what? We're going to fix you. You won't be able to talk back to this woman the whole time she's pregnant. When she asks for something strange, you won't be able to say, what? That's crazy. And so here it is, time for the baby to be named. And the mother names the child. And secondly, the other odd thing is, no one in the family had ever been named John. And typically, bless you, typically, you name the child something that another one of your relatives, however far back, might have been named. And the third thing, they turn to Zechariah. And when he is asked, he writes down the name John. And suddenly he can speak, but not only does he speak, actually he erupts in song. If you read this in the Greek text, it's in the form of a song or a chant. He erupts into a song speaking about not so much his son, but about the promise that God is fulfilling, and how this son of his is simply another sign that God is fulfilling that promise now in the world. He focuses on what God has done and what God is doing to bring about peace. Zechariah tells those present that God has looked on them with favor, and that God is redeeming them, not because they're good, but because God promised deliverance for those who will serve Him. How? Not just those who will serve Him and be grumpy. Those who will serve Him in holiness and righteousness. The child John will be the forerunner of the Messiah and speak to people about salvation and forgiveness. And that was great news. That was great news, salvation and forgiveness. It's great news now, isn't it? Salvation and forgiveness. It's great news for our world, not just the first century world, but for the 21st century world. Our world in which we've already mentioned troops are away from home. In which prices seem to be skyrocketing on just about everything, not just gas. in which crime and fear is rampant, in which families and friends are torn apart. And here we approach Christmas with crowds everywhere. I told you last Sunday night, I do my very best to avoid Woodruff Road and the mall. The crowds are everywhere, pushing and shoving and fighting for that gift. A world in which it's hard to really see Christmas because we've twisted it so far out of shape. But at least we've got the good news of the angels, right? That a Savior has been born and is among us. That's true. And that is good news. That's great news. But it's only part of it. And actually, part of the good news depends on us. You and me. Now you might say, wait a minute. Give us time to bask in this moment. This peace of the moment. Looking at a tranquil scene. Thinking about the manger. Okay, moment's up. Moment's up. You see, that's not all that Zechariah sings, and that's not all that the angels sing in Luke chapter 2 that we read earlier with our children. Zechariah states in verses 78 and 79 of Luke chapter 1 that in God's mercy the light of salvation will break upon us. And he speaks and says that we will receive light and be guided into the way of peace. And the angels sing of peace on earth, goodwill toward all people. And it does speak to us of God's peace and of God's goodwill and of God's presence. And that is great news. And that's what God does to us and for us and with us. So now we feel all warm and fuzzy. It's time to sing Last Hymn and go home, right? Not quite yet. God's mercy and peace do give us light and redemption. But they also demand that we do something. They give us that peace and that righteousness and light and redemption, but they also demand something of us. The way of peace. That's what Zechariah said. The way of peace. The way of peace is not simply to be peaceful, but to be peace-filled and to be bringers of God's peace. Sharers of that peace, as we mentioned with the children earlier. It's to be led to be peacemakers. Seems to me some baby grew up and said that later on in his ministry, in the Sermon on the Mount. That baby said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God." Not the peaceful, but the peacemakers. And when the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace and goodwill toward all people," the message was not just about receiving peace in a hostile world, knowing that we're saved. I need to look in the box again here. Found a baby blanket. And I have to admit, but the message for this morning had been written a while back. But recently I watched my favorite animated Christmas show, and there's one of my favorite characters. Carries around a baby blanket. That's right. Bobby Charlie Brown Christmas. And in that, Linus. Carries carries around a baby blanket. He does all kinds of things with that baby blanket. Amazing things with that baby blanket. But recently I watched it again. And so I rewrote part of the message. Because something struck me. In it we see a picture of just how lost people really are at Christmas time. Probably never thought of that much when you've watched Charlie Brown Christmas, but there are a lot of lost folks. A lot of lost folks. I mean, think about it for a moment. Charlie Brown looks at one little girl and thanks her for the Christmas card she sent. And she says, "I didn't send you a Christmas card, Charlie Brown." And she turns and walks off with her nose stuck in the air. And he said, "Don't you understand sarcasm when you hear it?" You see, Charlie Brown's hurt. Charlie Brown's been hurt. But so have some of the other folks, and perhaps that's why they are as they are. Charlie Brown is elated when Lucy, who is kind of his nemesis oftentimes, asks him to come and direct the Christmas play. "We've even got a Christmas queen," she says, and smiles. And Charlie is elated, and he thinks, somebody is finally going to help me. Somebody is finally going to show me a sense of respect. And if you've watched it, you know the play that he's to direct is extremely chaotic. The other children are very snippy and snooty, and they don't listen to Charlie Brown. He feels lost. And he is at a loss about true understanding of Christmas. He goes and buys a tree, which they all make fun of. "You can't do anything right, Charlie Brown." And so he finally screams out, "Doesn't anyone know the meaning of Christmas?" And in walks one of my favorite characters, Linus. Walks over to Charlie Brown and says, "Sure, Charlie Brown. I know what Christmas is all about." And he turns on the stage and he looks up and he says, "Lights, please," and the lights go down. And he begins to quote Luke chapter 2. And then he comes to the point, after the baby is born, he said, "And in that region there were shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid." I always wondered what sore afraid meant, but I guess it makes you so terrified that you just hurt all over. "And they were sore afraid. But the angel said to them, 'Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which is for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you,'" he says, "'you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men.'" That's the meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown. And Charlie Brown picks up the little tree and goes outside to try and decorate it, and he thinks he kills it because it's so flimsy. And he says, "I can't do anything," and he wanders off. And suddenly the children make a change. Now, as I listened closely, something struck me, which I guess has always been there, but it really jumped out at me this time. I remembered that the peace and goodwill are not just from God to us. That's the easy interpretation. Rather, the heart of the good news, which includes salvation, is that those who follow God are to make peace and practice goodwill toward others, all the people. If we are truly Christ's followers, we will make peace. Make peace with those that we think have wronged us, or perhaps those who think we have wronged them. With those whom we do not necessarily agree with, but who are fellow believers. Jesus does say, blessed are the peacemakers. And Paul writes the verse that is at the bottom of the left-hand page of the bulletin this morning in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. It's really not enough to simply say we believe and then do whatever. Or say we believe and then go hide from folks and be peaceful. We're required as God's children to practice peace and goodwill. And we need to begin that. We need to begin that. The family with whom there's friction. Then with other members, perhaps even of our own church, with whom there is tension. And then with co-workers, with neighbors, with fellow students. After Charlie Brown runs off from that tree, those hateful and cynical and snippy children come out, and evidently when Charles Schulz wrote this, he had them suddenly understand what Linus was saying. They get the message. They decorate the tree and then reach out and practice goodwill with Charlie Brown. They fix his tree and they wish him a Merry Christmas and they invite him to sing with them and to share in that. We need to meditate on that true meaning of Christmas, releasing those tensions to free up true grace, true forgiveness that we can give to others, to straighten out those things which maybe have gone wrong in our tangled lives, to straighten out the coldness that perhaps we have between us and other folks. Coldness that needs to be melted by goodwill. To let bygones be bygones and to move forward. Practicing peace in the heart, peace in the home, peace at church, peace at work, peace in the school, peace everywhere. You know, sometimes we're more lenient and grace-filled towards strangers than we are with family and friends. It is time to make peace, to share goodwill, and to practice that. I'm going to do something I have never done before in a church service. And I know we've run long, but we can talk about it at lunch. Located on the inside of every pew, down where the Bibles are in front of you, and if someone would get to those, there are some pieces of paper. Bill, there's some right there on the end of that, and if you pass them out to the choir. Brian, you probably found them and moved them. I sat them right where you're sitting up there. There are a couple of them down in the office where the counters are. There are some in the nursery as well up on the counter. And I'm going to stop being Linus for a moment. Or maybe not. There's far too little peace and practicing of goodwill in our world today. Even among ourselves, perhaps. And after watching the Charlie Brown Christmas, this idea dawned upon me and I tried to push it back and I thought, no, I'm going to do it. Never done anything like this before. It's a first. It's a peace and goodwill commitment form. I know that when the angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill toward all people, that God's peace was not all it was meant. As a follower of Christ, and I'm about to write my name there. And to make peace and practice goodwill toward others. Today I commit myself to make peace with those persons whom I have wronged, who have wronged me, or with whom there's friction. And I commit myself to practice goodwill toward them. Furthermore, I will pray for them by name and for our goodwill at least once a week for the coming year. They are, and then there's a place to write family members because we need to start with our family. if we've got friction, we need to start with our family. Secondly, members of First Baptist Church, if you've got friction with anyone, they may or may not know it. And then co-workers or schoolmates. You know, I am a cynical person in some areas. I admit to that and admit to it very readily. I'm extremely cynical when it comes to bow your head, close your eyes, and as we pray this prayer, raise your hand. Oh, yes, I see that hand. I see those hands. You can put them down. Because I'm the person that sits in the back and doesn't bow their head and close their eyes because I want to see what's going on. And far too often, I haven't seen a hand go up. But I hear those guys say, oh, I see those hands. You can put them down. Besides, Jesus says, if you'll confess me, you do it before men. And I don't want people standing just because somebody else does. But if you will commit to doing this over the next few weeks and then the upcoming year, I want you to stand up with me because I'm going to stand first because I need to do it with some folks. And we're only going to take a moment. But if you will commit to doing that, I want you to stand. And like I said, I don't want you to stand just because other people are standing. I want you to stand because you mean it. Because you mean it. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and write down the first name on my list. And I want us to pray together for each other that we will indeed live up to this commitment. Not because it makes us better than other folks, but because it is the right thing to do if we are followers of the Prince of Peace. And if we truly believe that the angels said peace on earth and goodwill toward all people, not just from God, but from me to you and you to the person next to you and on and on and on. And I want us to pray for that. If you would bow your heads, please. Or not. Our Heavenly Father, we stand not only before you, but before each other, committing ourselves to making peace and practicing goodwill with family, with friends and fellow Christians, with co-workers and schoolmates and others. And we further commit ourselves to praying not only for those folks, but praying that we indeed will continue to do that. And that you will give us the strength because it's not always easy. Help us through the Prince of Peace to be bearers of goodwill. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. And as you're standing, if you'd take a hymnal and sing our hymn of dedication together. O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. We are that captive. That captive sometimes because we don't practice peace. It's hymn 245. And our altar is open for any who would make a decision for Christ, for this church, for sharing God's peace.